Our scripture reading for today is James chapter 2, verse 8 to 13. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And before we go into our message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy and blessed Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have revealed your will to us in your word. And we live in such confused times. And even we who are your children, who are redeemed by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, are often confused. Often our minds are clouded by the thoughts that are propagated by the world. We are led astray at times by evil thoughts. And so, Lord God, we desperately need the guidance, the light of your inerrant word to teach us and lead us in the way that is pleasing to you. And so, Holy Father, we sincerely pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate us, your children, with a right understanding of your word. Please enable us by your Spirit to understand and accept the things of the Spirit of God, which is your revelation. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us to that end, so that we, Lord, may be sanctified and be transformed by the truth and become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. For we have been predestined to be conformed to his holy image. And we now ask this for your glory and namesake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in James, picking up where we left off 2 weeks ago in the second chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 8 to 13. If you recall from 2 Sundays ago, we are currently considering the section in James's epistle where he is confronting a particular sin which his original audience was guilty of. What was that sin? It was the sin of partiality. These believers, if you recall, were showing partiality to the rich people who came into their churches while dishonoring those who came in who happened to be poor. So we'll just jump back and review our text from 2 weeks ago, James 2, verse 1 to 7. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? So these Christians whom James addresses, they knew better than to show partiality to the rich. As believers in the gospel, they knew that earthly wealth and status are irrelevant as far as a person's standing before God is concerned. They knew that earthly wealth and status had no bearing at all on matters pertaining to salvation and eternal life. They knew that the only wealth and status that ultimately matters is that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, adoption into God's family, and the right to an everlasting inheritance. But as we learned 2 weeks ago, somehow these believers were allowing evil thoughts to cloud their judgment. And as a result, they were discriminating between the rich and the poor within their assemblies. They were honoring the rich who came in with attention and good seats, while the poor who came in were dishonored. They were treated dismissively. As we read there earlier in the text in James 2, they were told to go stand somewhere off to the side or in the back or to sit on the floor. And by discriminating like this, these Christians were contradicting the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and were violating God's commandment. As we read in Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 15, "You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor." And this principle of partiality was God's commandment to the church in terms of how they treated people who came in. So God's command to his children is to show no partiality. As we were reminded 2 weeks ago, neither poverty nor riches has any bearing on a person standing in the sight of God. It is, of course, only God's grace in Christ Jesus that does have bearing. Regardless of earthly status, all people are eternally impoverished apart from Christ, while in Christ, all people are eternally rich. Therefore, God requires that we treat all who come into our churches impartially. Our Lord wills that we treat all people who come into our assembly with courtesy and respect, regardless of their worldly status. His word teaches us, as we read in Titus 3:2, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Likewise, we read in God's word, 1 Peter 2:17, that the children of God are to honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. The original recipients of James' epistle were not wrong to honor the rich who came in to their churches. But where they went wrong is that they didn't also honor the poor who came in as well. They should have, as the Word of God teaches, they should have shown courtesy and honor to everyone. They should have been impartial. And, of course, that is what we are commanded to do as those who are in Christ, to be impartial and show courtesy and honor to everyone who may come into our churches, whatever their status may happen to be. They may be at the pinnacle of the social ladder, or they may be at the very lowest rung. We are taught clearly in the Word of God, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Treat them all with courtesy, with respect." as you read in Leviticus 19:15, be not partial to anyone. Be not partial to the poor. Defer not to the great. If you remember from our message from 2 weeks ago, we had talked about how some Christians commit the opposite error from what James's original audience were guilty of. They're partial to the poor. They may have great empathy for the poor, all the while sneering and despising the rich. And we must not make the opposite error. What must we do? The command of our Lord, show no partiality whatsoever, neither towards the rich nor towards the poor. Never discriminate based on earthly status. Now often, we see so many within Korean churches in particular doing that very thing, showing partiality. Show no partiality, brethren in Christ. A refusal to do so, as today's text asserts, is breaking the law of God. Verse 8 to 9. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. As we know, Christ, our King, summed up God's law under two basic commandments. What are those two basic commandments? We look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. To show partiality is to violate the royal command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Part of what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves is to show courtesy to all of our neighbors, not just to a selective few in particular, not just to a selective demographic. And we see that kind of thing being encouraged in the race-based ideologies of our current times. And we as believers have no business doing that sort of thing. White neighbors, black neighbors, Asian neighbors, show honor and courtesy to all of them, regardless of skin color and ethnicity. All people are eternally impoverished and condemned apart from Christ and eternally accepted and rich in Christ. So verse 9, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. How should we regard the act of showing partiality? How should we regard the sort of thing that these believers were guilty of doing back in James's time, and many believers today are also guilty of doing? And the word of God is clear. We should regard it as sin. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. We should regard partiality as a transgression of God's law. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. We should regard partiality as a transgression of God's law. Not just a minor point of debate. We shouldn't just laugh it off and make excuses because everyone else seems to be doing it. God's word is clear. To show partiality is sin. And as we know, all sin is deadly serious. Consider what we read next in our text in verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law, but fails in one point, has become guilty of all of it. In a sense, there is an equivalence between failing in one point of God's law and failing in all points of God's law. What is the equivalence? Every sin, every transgression of God's law is punishable by death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, every sin is death. Eternal death. Some people commit sin more frequently. Some people commit more egregious sins than others. But all sinners, apart from the saving grace of God in Christ, will be liable to eternal judgment. Therefore, we should never take any sin lightly, because every sin deserves to be punished in hell. If we were to stand before the judgment of God and the only sin we were guilty of during our life on earth was a sin of partiality, what would happen? We would be charged as guilty sinners and be thrown into hell along with the murderers and adulterers and those who did away with every point of God's law. That's what would happen. And yet, none of us can say that we've failed only on the point of partiality. We have transgressed every point of God's law, if not in deed, then in heart. And that's why no human being can be justified in the sight of God on the basis of his or her obedience to God's law. How vital it is that we have our transgressions covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How eternally vital it is that all of us repent and place our heart's trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior from sin and the Lord of our lives before it's too late. An obstacle that keeps people from realizing their urgent need for Christ is this notion that they are good, decent people. They think that because they never went out and murdered somebody or mugged someone on the street or got involved with gang violence and have pretty much been a benign person all their life, that they are all right and decent and headed for heaven. But then bring up a sin like adultery, and do you think it's not a big deal? They abhor murder for the horrific sin that it is, but they regard adultery to be permissible in the right circumstances. They romanticize adultery. They fantasize about it. They idealize it. They excuse it in their own lives. They treat adultery in the same way that many in James' time may have treated murder. Verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So today, there's so many who obviously regard murder to be unacceptable and horrific, but feel that adultery is not a big deal. And what seems to have been the case back in James's time is that there were many in society who abhorred adultery. It's like the opposite of what's so common today, but thought perhaps murder's not too bad given
the right circumstances. Maybe it could have been that people at that time tended to excuse or even idealize murder if it was done in the right circumstances. Maybe to avenge an insult to one's honor or to carry out vigilante justice, or if it was done out of some political purpose. I don't know. But the bottom line is that we are not free to decide for ourselves what constitutes sin and what does not, just because we may consider certain sins to be acceptable or excusable does not make it so. As our text reminds us, if someone does not commit adultery but does commit murder, what is he? A transgressor of the law. If someone does not commit murder but does commit adultery, what is he? A transgressor of the law. If someone does not commit murder and does not commit adultery, but does commit partiality, what is he? A transgressor of the law. Some people may protest. Well, come on. I saw it all the time in the churches I grew up in. I saw elders do it. I saw guansas do it. I saw pastors do it. I saw the people who drove fancy cars and were successful and wealthy, welcomed and honored in the church and fast-tracked into leadership, even if their profession of faith was questionable. Well, at that same time, I saw so many who are poor in the world, marginalized and treated differently. I saw so many in the church show partiality towards the successful and wealthy all my life, and now I see my friends doing the same thing. It's not ideal, I'll admit. But on the other hand, it's ingrained into my culture. It's just a little peccadillo. That's all. Nothing to make a big fuss about. Is it a little peccadillo? No, it's not. As we see in the principle laid out in today's text, if someone does not commit murder and does not commit adultery, but does commit partiality, what is he? A transgressor of the law. A person may regard adultery and murder as heinous sins, but have very little concern about showing partiality. But as we read in our text, partiality is a transgression of God's law, and every transgression of the law is worthy of hell. Are all sins therefore equally heinous? And Scripture makes clear that the answer to that question is no. Scripture makes it clear that some sins are more heinous in God's eyes than others. As the Lord tells us, some of God's commandments are lesser than other commandments. Matthew 5:19. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus himself even tells us that some commandments are lesser than others. Or in Matthew 23:23, our Lord basically tells us the same thing. He tells us that some commandments are weightier than others. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Some matters of the law are weightier than others. So what that means is to break certain commandments are more serious than breaking other commandments. However, despite the fact that some commandments are weightier than others, to transgress even the very least of God's commandments deserves what? It deserves eternal judgment. Thank God that if we trust in Christ as our Savior and Lord, we will never suffer the everlasting judgment that even the least of our sins deserve. But knowing that showing partiality transgresses God's law and is deserving of eternal judgment ought to drive home to us how abhorrent it is in the sight of God, along with every other kind of sin. How could we be nonchalant about something that our Lord and Redeemer abhors? How could we excuse something which our Lord considers worthy of an eternal death sentence? If we truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never face the judgment of God's condemnation, since Christ was punished on the cross in our place. But as believers, we do face another kind of judgment. Verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Our salvation, as we know so well, is by grace alone. But in addition to the gift of eternal life, we, as believers, will receive a heavenly reward based on our works of love. Scripture makes that abundantly clear. Salvation is by grace alone, but in addition to the gift of eternal life, believers will be judged for a heavenly reward. Surely those who lived out a more consistent obedience to God's commandments out of love for God and love for neighbor will receive a greater reward than those whose obedience was less consistent. We will be judged, brethren, not for condemnation like the unbelieving, but for a heavenly reward. And so we read in verse 12, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. The desire for a heavenly reward ought to motivate a careful and zealous observance of the royal law expressed in today's text. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And a major aspect of loving our neighbor, as we've been reminded today, is to show no partiality. However, our text does conclude with a sober warning as we move on to verse 13, the final verse of our passage. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. To the one who is without mercy, to the one who refuses to repent of the kind of partiality confronted by the Apostle James, to the one who insists on transgressing God's law on this particular matter and lives out his days, depriving those who are lacking in earthly status of the courtesy and honor which our Lord commands us to show to all, to the one who makes an unrepentant practice of this sin of partiality, what does our text tell us? He will find no mercy from the Lord on the day of judgment. As we've emphasized repeatedly throughout this series, the Lord promises to implant His law on the hearts of all who trust in Christ for eternal life. Hebrews 10:15-17. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." That's a promise that's applicable to all who trust in Christ. He will put His laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then He adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." If anyone claims faith in Christ Jesus and yet makes a willful, determined, deliberate, unrepentant practice of sinning, whatever that sin may be, and the particular sin in view in today's text is a sin of partiality, what does that say about that person's claim to faith? It's false. It's evident that such a person has not genuinely trusted in Christ Jesus, for if he did, God would have put in him a heart to keep His commandments, a genuine desire to keep His word. Of course, not as a way to earn eternal life, but out of gratitude and love towards God and Christ, out of a transformed heart, a heart transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. But for those who have turned to Christ in faith and have been granted a heart to fulfill God's commandments, including His commandment to show no partiality, we can take comfort and assurance. We can look forward to the day of judgment, confident that our faith in Christ is true, is genuine, since God has put His law on our hearts, as He does to all who truly trust in Christ Jesus for eternal life. Let's pray. Holy Father, we humbly ask that insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is the product of Your Spirit's anointing, insofar as it is in keeping with Your word of truth, not to please man, but to obey You, our God, who has revealed Your will to us, we pray that we who are Your people, who have been ordained for eternal life, who are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who are anointed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who have been given a new heart, a transformed heart, a heart that genuinely desires to please God and obey His commandments, we pray, Lord God, that insofar as that describes any of us, that we will listen to what has been preached and taught, so that we, Lord God, may understand clearly Your will for us here in our short lives on this earth, and how we are to glorify You, and how we are to live out our lives in the way that You would have us, as those who belong to You, who have been purchased for You by the very blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, we pray, please bless this message. To that end, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.